It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between him.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhardt. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great right.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores! Get up, St. Louis. Get on your feet. They did it. It's over. The game is over. The series is over. The wait is over. And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
Fans, and welcome to a Monday edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome you to the SynergyHockeySkills.com studios. Our good friend Jamie Rivers and crew out on the ice actually right now. That's why we got stood up today, because somebody's on the ice. What do you think of that?
He needs to be out there.
He needs to be out there. Well, somebody had flu going around, so Rivs filling in. But I think we got a little surprise for everybody. I'm hearing rumor on Thursday, so this should be interesting. But SynergyHockeySkills.com, we appreciate everything they do for everybody in the area, including our show. And, of course, our good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, that's the name you know and trust. Construction, heating and cooling, and electric team fired up and ready to go, especially in this cool weather. Don't mess around with that furnace, folks. Get it taken care of. And when you call them, you know you can trust them to do the job and do it correctly. And like I said, I just can't imagine not being able to trust somebody that you need to do a big job like that, and something that you need to trust to have ready for you, especially when these temperatures go down like this. And, of course, that's our good friends at InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, the one thing I know about Randy Green at InnovativeCompanies.com, Kimby, from my time of getting to know him really well, is he would have appreciated that. A while back, I would have been able to say it's rivalry night. And I'm still hearing that, and I don't know why, but that bothers the hell out of me. Now, I know I've discovered lately a couple of things. Number one, I'm going to get called boomer by some people, which I'm not. I'm technically not a boomer. I just found out, and because I've never really cared to find out, but I did now. But I got to tell you, I've been watching some old scraps today. I mean, you've been sharing a lot of stuff lately, and we've been watching some stuff. And Jono and I got to watching some Proby and Twist fights and stuff like that. And I got to tell you, man, I don't know how anybody in their right mind, and I mean this, can honestly say that they are, like, excited about tonight's game. Like, other than it just being another hockey game. Yeah. I'm telling you, 20 years ago, when the Hawks and Blues got together, it was must-see television, and it was gonna go down. It was gonna be played hard.
Did you see what's going on this week? What's Wednesday night?
Wednesday night?
The Blues are on rivalry week.
Oh my God!
And they're playing Pittsburgh Penguins. Where's the rivalry there?
What?
Yeah. So what's gonna go on there, you think?
Oh boy.
But you just seen a rivalry here. Anyway, yeah. No, that would have been going into the old stadium, you know, playing hockey in Chicago, where the hardcore fan would be sitting there by now. They'd be in the bar getting ready to put a few pints in them, getting ready to turn the boob tube on so they could enjoy some, not just fighting, but just hardcore hockey. Like, guys just leaving it on the ice. And no matter what's going on, someone's going to lose a tooth or someone's going to get some stitches. And it's just, but that, you know, guys laid it on the line. And I'm not saying they don't lay it on the line. It's just a different laying it on the line version now. It's, skating 100 miles an hour and going all over the place and putting pressure on them that way, as opposed to, the body contact and, whatever else would come with it. So it's a different version, but yeah, you're right. It's not like, you know, and plus now the Blues are at the top of the ladder and the world's reversed here a little bit where the Blackhawks are at the bottom of the ladder.
Should it really matter? See, that's the thing. Back then, it didn't matter.
No.
It didn't matter who was better than the other team. It was...
But you had guys that could make it interesting. You know what I mean? So there would be a whole line of guys that would say, nah, well, you know, just cause it's the Blues and it's the Blackhawks and we hate each other and this is going to be entertaining because that's something that the fourth line... I don't care what anyone says. Back in the day, the tough guys played an interesting part in the hockey game because, you know, there was a crowd there, the people that were, like I said, got some booze in them and they're ready to roll, and they wanted to be out there fighting against them. And so now they would live through the guy that was doing it. They wanted to be that guy, so the fight would go on, and that could turn the whole momentum because if you got beat up, the crowd would probably swing in their favor or swing vice versa, you know. So it played a part.
We've talked about numerous parts of this thing, and, you know, there's people that love to get on you about the old-time thing and all that, but the truth of the matter is, and this is what I've always wondered, so, like, you know, you talk about circling games on calendars. Was that true? Like, you knew, I mean, number one, you played the Blackhawks how many times a year, right?
Eight times a year.
Okay. And then there used to be a back-and-back home-to-home.
Home and home, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times. Probably do that twice a year.
That would be the big one, right?
For sure.
Because you're still pissed off 24 hours later. Like, not like I'm mad because it's my job. Yeah. I mean, pissed off.
Yeah. Well, you got it all going on, though. You're playing back-and-back when Probert was running wild in Detroit, and, you know, then they weren't at the top of the ladder when I'm talking when Proby was there, you know, they were, but there was still the Detroit St. Louis, you know, they couldn't stand each other either, and, you know, they had the toughest guy in the league at the time, and, you know, it was just you had the whole Norris, the Chuck Norris division, and that it was shit was going on.
So you came here from Quebec,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So, like, when you got here, who? I mean, you probably had an idea, but I'm assuming somebody, I don't know who it would have been, said, hey, let me tell you what's going on here.
Yeah. No, you, unless you're a moron, you could figure it out. Plus, I come from the Adams division, so I was sitting in Quebec, even though we weren't having a great year, but there was a rivalry because you were playing Montreal all the time, so you played them 8 times. Hartford, who wasn't doing as well, but you had a rival with them in Buffalo and Boston. So that was a whole, you know, there was always something going on. You know, so back in the days, the divisions were a lot different. You know, the Adams division back then. So, you know, you're playing 32 games against just your division to get out of your, you know, that was big. And the hockey standings were, you know, 1 through 4, and that thing had to get through. So
right.
It was just a war right through the process.
So yeah, I just made me think of it because nostalgically, emotionally, whatever term you want to use, it's just not the same.
No.
And with all this shit that's went on with Bartuzzo, and I'm not gonna sit here and say, yeah, just try to kill somebody with your stick or whatever. I mean, I'm not gonna turn this into a slap shot interview either with with Paul Newman and them. But I mean, the truth is though. And I've said this before, and I was really – I know Coach Henson should be here any minute, and I was kind of waiting on him for this discussion. But, you know, I'm going to come back to this because I do want to have it with him, and we'll talk a little bit about the couple of nice wins for the Blues, really, over the week. So, but I want you to think about this. What I get told all the time is that removing all of that from the game is for the betterment of the game, right?
Mm, correct.
Who – like, I have a hard time – it's the game's not better. I want you to think about it. We're going to have a conversation about this. I don't believe for 1 minute that the game today, I'm talking the whole game, is not better than it was in the late 80s, early 90s. It's not.
No.
It's not.
There's a lot going on right now, Chrome. This, you know, the tough guys.
It's not just a tough guy thing, though, either.
No, but I'm just saying. But the tough guys they've taken a licking for the last year and a half here. The old time hockey guys have, because you know, they every time anything goes on, you're pretty well called a goon and just terrible for the game of hockey and all this. And that's been going on. And now, you know, you get into this coaches that they're being too hard. You know, there's just a whole shit show going on, and so they're taking the brunt of it. So hockey itself right now, where you're trying to crawl out of the you know, you're one of the four sports, but you're always looked at about the four sport, you know. So you're trying to, you know, and hockey was making improvements, and so now this coaching thing's coming about, and I'll tell you, the libtards out there that are doing this nonsense, that are going after and coaches being, I live in the real world, Cromes. You live in the real world. You have to be held accountable for something in your life. It's not, you just don't go to work and daisies are pushing up and we're all laughing and everything's funny and everything. Actually, there's a boss that sits there, and your boss is going to tell you something, and you're not going to like it, but you're going to have to do it. And that happens in the real world.
I've heard you talk about a boss.
Yeah.
Would you compare it to coaching a little bit?
For sure it is. It no matter, you know, and not the current job I'm in now, but before when I was at the last place, your job was on the line. You're feeding your family on your work schedule, and you know, there's a guy telling you what to do, though, that you don't believe in what he's saying to you, because it's, you know, might not even be right, but he's just, you better do this or you're not. And so this is the slapping people and hitting them. That's a bunch of crap, you know. That wasn't going on. Coaches weren't beating anybody up or anything like that. That didn't happen. They might nudge you in the back or kick you in the rear end if you're on the bench, because that's the closest thing to you, but no one getting beat up. I don't get all this crap these guys are doing.
Well, the two things that they were talking about with him, now your boy Brindamore, that's your buddy.
Yeah.
He said they happened.
Well, and if you slap a guy, or if you're slapping a guy in professional hockey,
did he smack him in the helmet? Is that what he did?
I don't. That's what they're claiming. I don't know that. Now, if he did that, yeah, you're right. I understand that, because you shouldn't be able to do that anywhere, right? That's
so. In high school, when Gary's dad would climb up on the, if you've ever been to Granite, there was nothing between the penalty box and the bench. So in high school, when I would take a dumb penalty, which I did quite often, and Gary's dad was put his foot up and reach in there and grab me by my cage and shake me, that he shouldn't have been able to do that. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what they're saying. And you know, I never touch anyone else, any other kid. But
that dude loved me, gave me an opportunity that most people wouldn't do.
Yeah,
gave me so many opportunities.
But you have to be, you know what, it's like... It's,
and did it because he cared about me.
But it's being... you have to be held accountable for something. You know, if you go to work and no, you just become... Then you become a run of the muck, you know. The nuts take over the asylum, you know. And you don't want that going on. And the world just turns into a crappy place. So, but you have to be held responsible for something. And that's all it is. You know, if you go and take something, a stupid penalty or something, and you're hurting the team, that's all they're trying to get through to you, is that you're hurting your other members. Be responsible for something. So it's not, if you're getting hit in the head, you're getting hit for a reason. You're not getting hit because the guy wants to just hit you in the head. That's not happening.
I've said it once, I'll say it again, and his son has just walked in. That guy gave me an opportunity that most guys would have laughed at, number one. Number two, cared about me, did all kinds of things for me, was as nice as could be. But you know what? And I know Gary don't feel the same way, but every time he reached in there and grabbed me by my cage, I deserved it. Mm. That's the problem.
Yeah, I'll ride home with him. So.
Yeah. I'll tell you, there's a, when I played junior, so I never got hit by anyone. Well, I would have punched back. But I when I was playing junior, the Rick Wilson, it's not the Rick Wilson that played here. It's a different Rick Wilson. He played the National Hockey League, coached the Dallas Stars. He coached the St. Louis Blues. He was assistant coach here just when Hitchcock was here. That Rick Wilson. But he coached me in junior, and Rick Wilson was a big man, like thick, you know, and just a big man. And, you know, when I was playing junior, his wife would, she taught power skating, so she, you know, the guys that weren't in school would go take a class with her just to, you know, he wanted to make sure we were keeping busy and blah, blah, blah. And we did some back then, you know, you're young and you're out in Canada, the drinking age is a little different than it is in the States, and so you go out and you party a little bit, and you know, you do some stuff, and maybe get in the odd fight on the street. And he just one summer, me and a friend of mine, Wade Butchus, I used to hang out with Butchie, and we got in a little bit of trouble, and he called us into the office, the hockey office where the Raiders were. And so we're sitting there, and we're, you know, me and Butchie are walking in laughing our ass off because we had a pretty good weekend. And we're sitting there joking, and Will's he was standing there, and all of a sudden he took his fist, and there was a stall, and he put his damn fist through the stall. And me and Butch just were sitting there, and we had like shit grin on our face, like we'd just done something crazy, and we were scared shitless. I probably had shit running down my leg when he did that. I didn't see that coming. And boom, and he hit that thing, and tore into us probably for about 10, 15 minutes, pretty well saying, if you don't get your shit together, you're going back to the farm and love this. And he was right what he's saying. You know, it's, we were at wrong, but we were just bunks running around doing crazy stuff like kids do. And but that's he scared the living shit out of me, though. And but I, you know, I had one of my best years of junior hockey when I went back that year. And I'm not saying that he cured me. By no means did he cure me, but he scared me.
And he helped you grow up a little bit.
Yeah, helped
me
grow up a little bit, be accountable for what I was doing. And,
sure.
But that's, you know, and that's what a coach is there for. It's just like a coach is like a teacher. You know, I have the most respect for teachers in the world because they got to take care of these kids at school for 8 hours a day. And that's what a coach is. He's there to put a guideline that you need to follow, and he's doing it for the betterment of yourself because you need to follow guidelines at some point in your life, right? And so I don't know what these guys are doing right now. They're calling people out, and they're doing a lot of stupid shit that they shouldn't be doing, and some of them are maybe lost their marbles, and a couple guys are doing it just for attention themselves, Avery and that Dan character. So I don't know, but I just there has to be a guideline somewhere. You can't slap a guy in the head. I agree with that. I understand all that.
But well, it'll
you're
be
certainly going to be called down, though.
Yeah,
because I get called down now in the real world, and there's nothing you do about it.
Yeah, because that's changed with the times, I guess. So Coach Henson's just walked in, so we're going to get into some Blues talk and then come back to my statement, Hindu, which I told Darren I want to come back to. But, you know, all this stuff that's went on and the Bartuzzo stuff won't go away, and I know how you feel about it and everything. And, you know, you got into it with the guy, and we remember him from the Tom Wilson thing and all that. But the truth of the matter is, and I've brought this up, and I told Kimmy this, and we'll come back to this, so you can think about it, but I'm going to ask you both, and we're going to have a conversation about it. I've been told that all this is for the betterment of the game, and the game's not better than it was in the 80s and 90s. It's not better. The game is not better.
Well, you think it's not.
It's not. I mean, we'll talk about it, but it's not.
Entertainment-wise, in some people's eyes, it's not better. I agree with that. It depends what you think of the game of hockey.
Well,
like, you're old school. That's why I'm old school.
But,
that's why.
But no. I'm going to explain to you why even new school it's not better.
Yeah.
Gary and I talked a little bit about this, so this will be a good conversation.
Some people like this Mickey Mouse shit that runs around out there.
Well, there's a lot of good. Like, we'll talk about it in a minute. But before we do, let's remind everybody: check us out, BluesNHLPodcast.com. Please subscribe to the show there. It takes about 30 seconds. Find us on our social media sites at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. Please like us there. Follow us on Facebook, BluesNHLPodcast. Make sure you. Like the page. When you see the pin post, that's a show. Like it, comment on it, share it. A lot of you guys do it all the time, and we appreciate it. Blues NHL Podcast on Instagram as well, and, of course, as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio. Special thanks goes out to all the people that make this show possible. Of course, you heard me mention innovativecompanies.com at the start of the show and our friends at synergyhockeyskills.com. Don't forget that great family associated with amateur hockey here in St. Louis, the Nelsons. NelsonLandServices.com, five-star locally rated company with reasonable prices. They do tremendous work and are looking for us just to help keep their name fresh in the minds of everybody out there in the hockey community. They're great people, and they do great work, and we'd love to help them. Don't forget our friends at Adam's Smokehouse with the best barbecue in St. Louis. Folks, make sure you get in there, especially in this weather. You guys could do yourself no more better service than to get your butt in there and smell it when it hits you when you walk in the door, order whatever you need. They are open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do big box lunch orders for your office if you need catering. They're awesome. Mike and his staff, you know, they do a tremendous job. You guys will enjoy it. You can try something new every time you go down there, and you'll never be disappointed. That's our good friend Mike and his crew down at Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Well, before we get to that topic, and, of course, we're going to hit our Patterson Tire and Service text line, a couple of big games. You know, you're starting to wonder maybe, I don't know, a week ago, you know, hey, this thing's catching up with them a little bit here. You know, we got the injuries piling up, and – yeah, the record still looks okay, but they're blowing some late leads and da-da-da, right, all this stuff going on. And, man, a couple of nice wins for the Blues against the Stars and Penguins. Hindu, you're just kind of walking in. Your thoughts over the – I guess it technically be – that was a long weekend, but we'll call it the weekend.
Yeah, well, I was impressed. I mean, I think they got through their game early, and Petro didn't get to actually sit on Jamie Benn, but it was pretty nice.
I was going to say.
I'll give him credit. It's pretty nice to call him out and tell him he's washed up because Jamie Benn looks washed up. So good for good for 27.
Say.
And, you know, this was mentioned on Twitter a couple times, and you hear about people talking about Blues playing a heavy game and all this other kind of stuff. And and what that means. And it not necessarily means that they have to be going and blowing guys up all the time. You can play a heavy game by just making the other team have to work really hard, not giving them a lot of time and space. And that's what the Blues have done. And they've created some turnovers. Of course, they've played some, you know, of course they played some physicality, but I wouldn't say the Blues are overly physical, but their pressure is. And they get you in bad spots, and they get other teams to make bad decisions on the forecheck, and it ends up with puck possession, and the Blues aren't one and done very many, too many times in offensive zone there can be.
No, I, you know what, the way they're playing right now, everything's just, it's just going in their direction, in their favor, because they got defensemen that are up the Petro's playing down below the dots half the time. Perrico's going down there now himself. It's just they're all offense. It's just go, and that's the new game. I get it, but it's just go. And there's turnovers, and I don't care what anyone says, and I'll argue this straight to the thing. You have two goaltenders that are standing on their head right now, and I don't know if they're standing on. They're just playing well. They're good goalies.
At minimum, they're playing well. Yes.
You know, so
and to say both of them is a giant stretch from where we were a year ago. Yeah,
it's really a giant, because you're gonna. The Allen situation, and I know people might not want it, and I'm a fan of his. I was a fan of his, and I know he's going through a tough time, and to get his confidence back like he's got right now is probably in the far near future, and I don't know near future, before this end of the season, is going to do him and probably the Blues some favor, because he'll probably get something in return for him, and he's going to get a new place to play hockey and maybe become a starter.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because not only is he starting tonight, which I'm sure most people might be taken a little bit aback, not because I think they're kind of back to supporting him, but I think they're kind of like, why? Well, right?
Why not, though? The way
okay, so the thing would be, so they come out today and say that what they're going to try to do is not run Bennington in the ground. They're conscious of the fact that, you know, he's basically just still shy a year removed from a schedule, grueling schedule like this. That being said, is there, and I think you alluded to this a little bit, if the man's going to play well, why not play him? Because I'm sure there's other people out there going, well, yeah, you know, you're kind of protecting him and not playing him very often, but... You know, you know where I'm going with this.
But
you got to play the guy if you want to trade him, right?
Yeah, but you're also you got to look at what their schedule is too. So Wednesday night, like I told, we talked about is rivalry night. They're playing Pittsburgh.
Rivalry night.
I know it's not, but that's what they're calling it. So you're on the national stage. It's going.
So you're
going to
play Bennington.
So
that night.
You want your big dog probably playing that game, just so that this is what you want to really win that game, because you're going national TV. That's where the fan base and. Every fan, all your Blues fans,
the
across,
alumni, yeah, that's everyone, where they know.
That, you know what I mean, though? But that's where you want. That's the game. If you ask these guys right now what game do they want to win, there's two of them, boom, boom. In the old days, it was the Blackhawks. Now it's rivalry night against Pittsburgh. but that's the game they want, because that's the national stage where they're at. So that's, you know, that's going to help the Blues out, because, you know, now that they won the Stanley Cup and they're playing as well as they're playing, they're the top dog in the league right now, and you got to show the top dog off.
I'm okay with it calling it rivalry night. Here's my take on it. The NHL has these rivalry nights, right?
Gay nights.
But the point is, they're elevating the Blues to that national consciousness.
Correct.
And what's the best way to do that? Play them against what would have been Sidney Crosby and Pittsburgh, and they're not. So to see the LA. To see the NHL elevate the Blues in that manner, that's something we haven't seen.
Yeah.
You know, we've said that for a long time. However, and then tonight, I think it's a good spot, because tonight I think the Blackhawks are dressing 12.
Yeah.
Did you see
that?
I saw that. They're dressing 11 forwards, 6D.
Pro team.
Well, I haven't gotten to that yet. Yeah.
11 forwards and 6D. And what's his name? Sick.
Maybe. Sharp might have able to play. Not Sharp.
Taze?
No, the guy that runs around there.
Shaw's hurt.
Shaw, he's out, so.
Duncan Keith.
I have firsthand knowledge that Shaw's not playing.
He's
tonight.
Not playing, so.
He's not. So, yeah, they're just 11 and 6. You ever heard of that?
But we talk about that on
and
the
show. And our goalie's sick.
A pro team can't afford to bring a guy up because they can't get under the.
If anybody wants to look at what a bad cap moves.
Yeah.
A team can make. Look at Chicago tonight. They can't bring someone up from the minors because they don't have cap room.
Well, and before you got here, Henson, it was, you know, I was telling Kimby, it would have been so nice to really play up the beginning of the show on, you know, Blues Blackhawks tonight. But it's just, I we were sitting around today watching St. Patrick's Day Massacre and watching old fights with Probert and the one where he fought Twist when he was with Chicago, and it just it breaks my heart. I mean, it's not the same.
What's not the same?
Come on.
Are we getting to this?
If you want to.
Is this where we're going?
If you want to.
Here, let me tell you something. I get that people say hockey's not what it used to be, and I get the old school. And you know I respect that and love that part of the game. But that doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't.
But why not? That's my
question.
Because
they can't.
Okay.
Because they can't.
Because why?
Well, because they're facing the same problems the NHL has. And hold on. I know what Kimby's going to say, and he's going to tell me a lot of concussions didn't happen in the fights, but some did. And you don't have to have a concussion to suffer from CTE. You don't. You can take blows to the head and not have ever been diagnosed. And we have seen that problem locally here in St. Louis with a friend of ours. He suffered, and he fought a lot. Todd Ewan he suffered and fought a lot. And I'd be willing to bet Todd wasn't diagnosed very often with concussions. Well, but anyway.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
But the game is, the players are better now.
I'll take it to another step, though, because Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Brett Hall could play in this league, and they could still dominate in this league.
I'm not going to.
So we're not going to go over there.
But there's, collectively.
There's up and down the ladder, for sure there is. I will not, but.
I don't think we get to see their talent, though. That's my point. That's what's wrong with the game. The rink's too small. It's like everything else. It hasn't evolved. The goaltending equipment's too big. We've talked about this.
You have to make it big so they don't get killed.
Okay, but you're telling me we can
shoot.
So we have shin guards, elbow pads, and stuff.
I coach a guy he played with.
I know. We talked about this.
Coach a guy he played with. I let them when they were in eighth grade because they couldn't shoot. I got in the net with nothing and caught the puck and threw it back at them. Nothing. Now, if you get in the net with an eighth grader, you better have equipment on because that stick has created so much velocity.
I understand. But now all of a sudden, we got everybody on the team backs into the goal because their new equipment, they can stop a bullet, but they can't make better goaltender equipment without it being so bulky. Don't give me that bullshit. That's bullshit,
man,
too.
I'm telling you.
It's bullshit.
They got to protect those guys because people just, Kimby, you know, people ripped apart.
Kimby, come on, man. You can't tell me that this goaltender equipment's not out of control.
Well, no, it's not. It's like the defensemen and them. They're wearing goalie equipment now because they stand there. And it's like you said, you can't even shoot a puck from the point anymore because I don't care who. If Al McGinnis, who had the hardest shot back in the day, he could stand back there and these guys are going to stand in front of it because they're not going to get hurt. They're wearing equipment that they're not. It's just like they're robots. And that's great because I'll tell you back in the day, if Al McGinnis was winding up for a shot, probably 90% of the league was getting the hell out of the way back in our time because we weren't wearing the equipment they're wearing now. So they're wearing that. But here's where the game's gotten faster and it's how you look at it. The concussion stuff though, and when you bring up fighters and I was one of them. And if I got it today and if something happened to me. And before, if I still had my marbles about it, before I did anything, I would say I wouldn't change a fucking thing I did in my life. I would do the same thing. And that's what I would say because that's the way I played the game of hockey. And if that wasn't around, I wouldn't have played in the National Hockey League. And that was my goal when I was a kid. So do I feel bad for people? Of course I do. I don't want no one to get that. No one does. But there's people out. You could see guys that were Scotty Stevens hit with a clean body check. They got the shit. You know, it's I'm not sitting here to this day, and I'll knock on wood. I'm not dealing with that right now. Does it ever come? I don't know that, but I would have never changed anything.
So two questions, because you have always said this. So I want to ask you as a guy that feels like I want to make sure I know my place, right? So because you say that, I being normal, like just a normal flawed human being, want to sit here sometimes and say, well, I mean, look at Kimby. I mean, he doesn't have it, or he says that it wouldn't have changed a thing. I mean, so don't these guys know? So I'll ask you this question, okay? Knowing what you know now, would you have still done it?
Yes. Yes.
He's always said that.
Yes.
He's always said that. He's always
but
said
that. But you know, it's not just the fighting, because when I played junior hockey in that, and I fought lots in junior, but I got to play the game, and I enjoyed playing hockey. I love the game. And when I went to the National Hockey League, and this is, it's a true fact, and when you sit there and you were on the fourth line and you weren't playing as much, I didn't like the game of hockey, but I had to do a job to stay there.
Yeah.
And Then when I went back down to the minors after that, I enjoyed hockey again because I was playing all the time. Like playing over here in the River Otters, you know, you're playing all the time. I enjoyed hockey, but I understood. And there was a point in time that I loved to fight. I did. I loved a street fight. I loved to do everything. I loved everything
I'm
about
first-hand
it.
First-hand witness
and
to that.
It was just, it was a joy. And then I got, when I got to a certain point in the National Hockey League to, you know, and you talk about coaches and that and what a coach is going to do. But the whole process, you know, I really got fed up with the part where you just sat on the bench and you weren't part. It's like you were just a useless tool and you were going to go fight. You know,
break
what I mean?
Glass in case of emergency.
Exactly. And that's what you did. And, but you were good enough to play in junior hockey and score all these goals. And you were good enough. I'm not going to talk about anyone, but I was. And then I went down to the minors and I scored goals. But I just, to get to the top tier, which was the National Hockey League, the best players in the world, I wasn't going to be in that position. And to find a position to make sure I could stay at that level, that's what I wanted to do. And so I found it by fighting because I enjoyed it at the time. And then, but when you go out there and fight, and that's why I have respect for Bob Probert, because he got challenged all the time and what he did. But, you know, guys like the thing they had with Ty Domi and Rob Ray that they went through and all the fights those guys went through. It's, you do it every night and you're doing, I'll tell you what, it's a mental drag on you, man. It does. It beats you up.
And so if you want to talk about Kemby's era, I'm going to tell you that was some of the greatest hockey ever.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to tell you, and here's why. The hockey players were better as they are still getting better. Collectively, everybody gets better in every sport. But something happened between Kemby's era and, I don't know, when the NHL decided, hey, we got this concussion problem. We've got to limit the fighting. So something happened between there, and I'll tell you what it is. They put microphones up everywhere. There were cameras everywhere. And a lot of these fights after Kimby's era, you take all those greats that we've seen, and toward the end of Tony Twist's era, a lot of that fighting was staged. It was staged because guys were just sitting there.
Yeah.
And now, because of all the media attention and because of the internet and because of mic'd up and all these things, fans started hearing that. Mm-hmm. That's not a good marketing tool. No. Back in Kimby's day, fighting was organic and it happened and it was spontaneous a lot of the time. Sure, there were times Kimby stood up and looked at the other team's bench and said, you know what? You're going to answer. Somebody over there is answering the bell for what just happened. Or you got a little too close to Brett. Somebody's going to answer the bell for what just happened. That's still organic. It's not organic when there's nothing going on in the game and, LaRocque or whatever skates up to somebody and goes, hey, you ready? And they're like, yeah, you want to drop them now or do you want to wait a minute? That shit, you can find that on YouTube. So whatever happened after the era of Kimby and that group changed it's changed the NHL. And I'm not going to tell you it's changed for the better or for worse, but that gap right there is why the game is different in regard to fighting and some of the other issues.
Right. And I knew what was going to come up about the game itself being better. And the reason I was going to give you my thoughts on the other part too was this. I mean, so many goals scored because guys just back up into the net and the goalie either doesn't see or it goes through traffic or bounces off. I mean, it happens all the time and it's just, I don't know, man. Like I said, I feel lucky to have watched? And again, we always used to laugh because I thought Mario was better than Gretzky, whatever. Everybody can say whatever they want. But nope. My point was, back then, man, like these guys.
You know what the difference is in with the two eras is playoff hockey in both eras, now and back then, are pretty similar.
I agree.
Are pretty similar.
And that's where I was coming to that.
Playoff hockey is. And because it's just everything gets elevated to a whole different level, and there's body more like the Boston Bruins and the Blues when they're playing, and there was a lot of body contact going on, and that's good hockey to watch. In our era, the only thing different was there was a game 1-80, there was some tough guys that were going to make it a lot more interesting to play the game of hockey, and they were there to make sure everything, all the peace and everything was going on. You played to a different crowd. It was a It was the lunch bell crowd that you were basically playing to, not the multimillionaire crowd that they're playing to now. And I'm saying that in a different way because they got the boxes all around. They had the seats that the guys that wanted to go drink beer and get shit-faced and watch hockey and live through the hockey player. That was going on for 80 games and the thing. So you're playing the Chicago's eight times a year, the Detroit's eight. So there had to be, there was a war going on in hockey.
Right. But also, Kimby, I mean, I get what, I know 1 through 80, and you've said it a million times. When the playoffs came, you guys were up in the press box. Yep. But your team got to the playoffs because of the protection that and some other people afforded. Hully and those guys. So it's not like you didn't have an impact and the guys in your era and before you didn't have an impact once the playoffs came around. You did. And the impact was your team was ready to go and battle those during those playoff series because you protected them all year. Mm-hmm. That's so while some would say they didn't have any impact, I would say that is completely not the case.
I would agree. And like I said, I don't – and that's what I was going to bring that up. The whole thing about the way the game changes once the playoffs start should kind of tell you what it's really all about. But then what's always made it great is these greatest players to ever play still found a way to dominate in the playoffs. But, I mean, you know.
The athlete's totally different now. It's a different mechanism. It's a 12-year or 12-month sport that you're going through now. You're not getting any time off. You go right back into the training process. These guys got their personal training. We didn't have that stuff when we were growing up. And you go back to your summer to visit with your family and that. And, you know, you'd be drinking beer with your buddies that you hadn't seen. And a lot of guys back, before me more so, in the middle of mine thing is when everyone started coming and Mike Keenan got into the, and everyone says what he was, but he was starting to, the game was changing because of Mike Keenan because he was making you train, like after practice, you would go into the weight room. Well, that didn't happen at the start. Mike Keenan, they started to do that stuff. And, now the game, that's what it is nowadays. You get more rest, you know, you're not traveling back to back and all this stuff and playing and you're going on, you got your own charter plane, you're getting, you know, you're in and you're out, you're back in your bed more times, and you know, it's a different game they're playing right now.
Well, they've obviously made it I don't want to say more comfortable, but they've
easier on your body.
They've made it easier on your body, and some of the ways they've made it easier on the athlete's body is by training them differently.
Correct.
So but to think that to take fighting out of the game completely, I would not agree with that. I think it should be there. You can't say, I know some people out there, and we've had these discussions, you can't say that if there isn't fighting in the game, hockey wouldn't be as exciting, because I'm going to just tell you straight out, that's just not the case. Because you can find arenas packed every weekend at the NCAA D1 level, where most of the 20 guys that are on the ice or that game have been drafted or their rights are owned by some NHL team. And those guys are wearing full cages and don't fight. And that hockey is sold out. Try to get a ticket.
College hockey, though, Gary, you go to a different – college hockey is a different animal than pro hockey. And what I mean by that is – you can get away from the fighting and talk about how nasty the game is. That college gets to be nasty shit. And there's a lot of sticks up, and you're fighting for your life out there. And I don't care. I watch the crap, and it's not crap. That's a favorite. I watch the hockey, but it's like a no-holds-barred sometimes. You get those guys playing. No, I watch Notre Dame games, and it's – there's a
lot of bodies flying.
There's
around.
A lot of shit going on.
Well,
not fighting, but there's a lot of other stuff going on.
And the truth is the fighting – I don't like if they said you couldn't fight anymore and the game was exciting, I wouldn't care. But that's as exciting to me. Here's the backing into the goal. It's just
here's the problem.
It's wore me out, man.
Here's the problem that I got. And the National Hockey League, led by Gary Bettman and whoever else was in his little entourage that went through the parade, they went after it and they wanted to make the tough guy look like a piece of shit. They made him look like a bad guy, and they had to force them out, and they were just bad people. And I think those were the guys that carried the game for a while, because the owners wanted us to carry the game for them. They were there for a reason. So we carried the game for them. So we thought we were a piece of shit. And that's where I go, because the game of hockey, as it's being played, even to this day, you get two little guys even going out there, and if they go out to fight, the crowd still loves it. They're absolutely all standing up, and they want to see something because they're still living through it. But to take the tough guys back in the day and just to talk so shitty about them, and then they were bad
that's
people.
That's a disgrace. That's all that is.
Wrong with the National Hockey League's doing to them.
That's a disgrace. And Jimmy, I know you're always saying everybody backs up. Kimmy just said it. Those guys, no one wore the equipment they do now to protect themselves from Al McInnes-ish slap shots. So the forwards weren't even, Kimmy just said, I'd get out of the way. The forwards weren't real happy about standing in front either. So no one had to back up. Okay, nobody had to because the forwards weren't there. Well, guess what? Now the forwards are there because they're wearing the same gear that the defensemen are wearing. Yep. And if they get hit off the shin and it goes in, great. And they sully like they made a great play. And I'm all right with that. I'm okay with them crashing the net. I'm okay with them dirty goals. I mean, there's still a ton of playmaking that goes on.
I don't see it as much as you do.
They got the plastic. Playmaking. Kids nowadays, they wear them. They got plastic guards to go on your skate. So if that shot, whatever. So now if it hits you, it's going to deflect off this plastic thing so you don't even get hurt in the foot anymore. So you can stand there. Yeah. And you know, there's a guy that coached in the minor hockey. He'd make his kids wear those things so they wouldn't get into broken foot or anything.
We've got them on our guys.
So, that's what they wear them.
We put them on guys who tend to turn tend to block shots, like our PK guys up high, tend to block shots, and especially if they won't keep their toes forward, which I never understand.
The equipment's so different.
Well, let's see what the fans have. It's time now to go to our Patterson Tire and Service text line. 618-797-6711 is our good friend's phone number at Patterson Tire and Service, located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. We want to remind you that they're a whole lot more than a tire store. You can easily call them and get a quote real quick for some tires or brakes, but they do automotive repair for all of your vehicles, anything that you may need. And again, just a great family, very honest, do quality work. Been in their community for a long, long time, so you know they're honest and they get it done right. I would say this. I know everybody in this room knows them. We've all known them for a long time. I know Kimby likes to have a little fun with Brian there with his what do they call them? Testaments. Reviews. Whenever they leave him a good review, I know Kimby likes to always say that he thinks Brian writes those reviews, but we know that's not true. There are so many people that really appreciate them and everything they do.
It's true.
Yeah, we just want to highlight them and make sure everybody gives them. And that's all they're asking is for an opportunity for your business. And I think that if you give them that chance, that you won't look any further. That's our friends at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. I got a couple here. First off the bat, since we're talking rivalry, this is the closest thing I've seen to it. And this young gentleman just wants a shout out because he's got a bet with somebody at work, and whoever loses has to wear the opponent's gear to the bar. So, sir, good luck to you, and we hope that the Blues win so that you don't have to wear Blackhawk stuff to the bar. This is interesting because he was in town, and I'd be real curious to get your thoughts on this not too long ago. So, Mr. Shattenkirk has found himself a home in Tampa and actually doing pretty well. This gentleman says, hey, look, Chad from Nashville. He's not getting on Falk, but he's saying in hindsight, would you have rather just signed Shattenkirk for a smaller deal and been able to sign Petro?
No, I tell you what, I think Shatty played a game and you got Petro, you got Pareko, you got even Bomeister a little bit last year when he got going, but they can do Shatty's job. And Falk is supposed to be able to do that, right? But he's not doing it right now. But he's a big body. He skates well. He skates better than Shatty skates. He takes care of the defensive zone better than Shatty took care of the defensive zone. So that's the kind of player. This player is going to get there eventually for the Blues. He got a goal the other night. So that's going to help him get with the confidence a little bit, get the monkey off his back. And, you know, but he plays still a solid D. And I think the whole game, they got him. I think they were, didn't they play him with Bomeister here? Wasn't, or who?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was playing with him. And the pairing looked good. It looked good. And if Bomeister keeps playing the way he's playing, and, you know, that's only going to help this guy out because, you know, Falk will be able to play his game, get comfortable playing with Bo. But, you know, we talk about Shattenkirk, but you're down in Tampa Bay. That team should supposed to be in first place, and they're not. Yeah. That team there is bewildering me right now because all the talent they got, they didn't lose all these players, and I just don't get that one.
I thought Cooper was getting fired after the Blues game.
I don't know. I don't know the GM there because Stevie Y was there, but he's gone to Detroit now. So I don't know.
They got, I mean, that's two games in a row. You just got manhandled.
Yeah, I think the players are sort of going.
They aren't hurt, and the Blues are.
Isn't sports getting to be a bad thing though? Because you can, you know, now when you go through the Babcock things, and everyone's starting to leak these little stories out that he was this, and I know he was an arrogant man and everything, but Keenan was an arrogant man. These guys are arrogant, but you have to be to a certain extent to run a pro hockey team. You're coaching guys that are making millions of dollars, so there's got to be arrogance coming back the other way.
Be arrogant to be the leader too. Did you watch Tom Brady on the bench last night?
Yeah, but there's got to be, you know, everyone. So now that, you know, every little nitpicking thing, and I'm not saying that when it happened here with Ken Hitchcock, and Ken Hitchcock was, you know, him and Babcock used to coach Team Canada's all the time. There's just a period of time nowadays with the athlete that goes on, in hockey I'll talk with because I don't watch many other. I know football, it's a revolving door up there most of the time. But
unless you're Dallas.
Yeah, you get to five. Yeah, unfortunately. You get to 5 years as a coach in the National Hockey League with the same team. You're doing something nowadays because these athletes, man, they're going to run the show to a certain extent.
Man. Well, I thought Coop was getting fired right after that.
Whew, yeah, that would have been.
And you know, you watch, and I'll put this on the books right now. You watch with Chief and the way Chief demands out of his players. I know the players love playing for him. They'll get to a period here 4 or 5 years down the road, you know, that if the success is not continuing to stay there, they'll get jumping his ass too. You wait, it's coming.
Darren Grease from Edwardsville brings up something. I don't know if you guys know either answer to this. He was really hoping Parayko would be on the All-Star ballot and was surprised he wasn't. I don't know how the All-Star ballot works. Do you?
But you can't. There's a.
You can't have everybody.
You're going to have a first line that's going to get voted on there, but you're not going to have it. You can't have every. Petro's going to make this All-Star team. I don't care what. He's your top dog, so he's going to make it. I don't know now that Tarasenko's been hurt all the time. He still might find it on. You never know how the voting goes in this process, but you know you got. You're not going to have everybody on there, and you're not going to two defensemen on one team is pretty hard to pull off on that one.
Yeah, and first person to bring it up, and I thought, and we're going to have to address this, rooting for Walker tonight versus the Hawks. So, your thoughts on Mr. Walker?
You know, here's my.
I think he should keep his foot down.
I'll only say one thing because
offside. Offside, Bubba.
It was. He's a little spark plug, you know, but this would be perfect to go into Chicago and. You know, go in there and get a little ruckus going around. But
sure.
I hope he gets to play. I hope they don't send him down before he gets back to St. Louis. And they do that Aussie thing.
That was pretty good.
Did they do it?
No, but it would be.
That guy put it on Twitter, and I saw that. If the fans would if he come out there and the fans would do that Aussie, I would laugh my ass off. That would be the fun. Can you see it in the when they play golf and they you know the Ryder Cup's going on and they get all that stuff? That's good stuff. I love that.
Well, I'm just happy for the kid. He's like he's not a quote unquote rookie. He's played in the NHL before. It's actually a lot of people thought that was his first goal in the NHL.
No, but
not.
I want to say, hey, Walks, tell me what that felt like.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me what it felt like to score and then look up and see that you're offside.
You're offside.
But I don't know his longevity. What his longevity is going to be here.
I think he's a player. I mean,
yeah,
I like
he's
him.
On the first line tonight again. He's starting there anyway. But your contract's going to get in the way. And what I mean by that is when you're sitting on a two-way contract and these guys come off the injury list and, you know, Steen's starting to skate again and who's the other one?
Sanford or Sanford's not as, or Sundqvist isn't as bad.
Sundqvist isn't as bad. So when he comes back, you have to make room, and the guy that's sitting there with a two-way contract is making room. And the only thing, you know, you're hearing these rumblings out there too, though. That he's out watching Toronto. Toronto's looking. Toronto needs a goaltender. There's a guy that needs a goaltender, and they got a guy there they got an island there. And I just hope the Blues don't.
Listen,
get that
I'm
guy.
Just saying. All I'm saying here is, like, I know I love to like look into things. I don't care what, Kimmy, I love you. I don't care what you say. I don't care what Armstrong said today. I don't care what Ruby said today. There is absolutely zero reason for Allen to play this game tonight other than they're hoping that he maintains how well he's playing so they can trade him.
I disagree. I know why he's playing him. I told you earlier why they're playing him. Chicago's on the bottom end of the feeder right now, so this is the game you're supposed to win. You go into Chicago because the big game is the big stage is Wednesday night. I'm just telling you that.
You got a whole you're not playing back to back.
They don't do that anymore. That's not you're not in the era where they're playing this goalie all the time. I'm just telling you.
So I don't think it matters what level of coach it is. If it's, you know, if the young men you're coaching are young men, I would find it hard to not play 34 soon after the effort he just gave. I'm sorry. And that's as a coach. As a coach, I'm going to tell you, man, I'm going to get him in sooner than I planned because look at him.
Okay, that's fine, but do I need to go back through all the games that they've played this year where they didn't play back-to-back nights and Bennington played four or five in a row when they played every other night?
But yeah, but that was at the start of the season, and at the start of the season you wanted to get off and running, and Bennington was your show horse that was going to get you off and running, and they didn't have faith in Jake at that point in time. And Jake's been an experience this year. You know, he gets to the point where they play him, and he did well. And then you play him again a little bit sooner, and he did well.
He did.
I'm just telling you. And then he goes.
That's fine.
He goes on the last road trip. He plays the Nashville game and when the Dallas game. Did he play the Dallas game?
Yep.
So he plays the two hardest games on the damn road trip. You know, he's earned his spot here. I still go back to the process. Wednesday night's the big thing, and they want Bennington for that game.
Even if you are marketing him for a trade, I mean, that's fine. But I'm sorry, but sometimes the guys deserve
it. He's made it easier on you to play him and market him for a trade.
Well, maybe so, but sometimes a guy deserves it, you know?
This other guy won you a fucking Stanley Cup last year, and he's been really good. So why in the hell are you not playing him?
Because you got to have 34 ready, and he's earned it. Yeah. He's earned it with his last... Okay.
I would say 50's earned it.
You're not far
play number one minutes.
I didn't say 50 didn't. You know what 50 gets to do? He gets to play on national TV Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah. He should play tonight and Wednesday. That's it. I'm just telling you.
I know.
I bet you I'll tell you what's going to. He'll play Wednesday night, and then he'll be back home Saturday night for Toronto.
Yep.
And that's what Bennington will do. So they can put their goalie in here. That they are, yes, I agree with you that they're marketing, but still – he's playing well enough. The confidence level has come to him. So if he continues to play, you're right, the stock goes up. But I would rather play him against Chicago than sit on prime time. But I would play the kid right now anywhere because he's playing so well.
They're all playing so well. I mean,
yeah, they're on fire.
Holy cow.
It's not going to last all year.
Lots of changes in the lineup. Lots of line changes. During the game, Berube's just swapping lines like it's nothing. And they just keep playing well. Just keep playing well. For all of those of you out there that think 72 isn't playing well, you're crazy.
Yep.
He is playing. He's doing what he has been asked to do, which is focus on the defense side of the puck. He wasn't asked to do that in Carolina.
Only guy that didn't play well just got sent down to the minors. So
yeah,
he lost his jock at the blue. And I feel bad for the kid because he went through two shifts that gets walked for the goal and then he gets the penalty. And I'm going, poor fucker, you're going. Your yellow ticket's coming in the mail.
He was going anyway, but I know what he did.
That made it real easy.
That made it for a rough ride down. Last question on our Patterson Tire and Service text line. And normally I wouldn't answer this, but I got to ask if I missed something.
You have.
Okay. This gentleman conveniently didn't leave his name. Where has Ryan O'Reilly been all year?
Oh, boy.
Oh, for gosh sakes.
I was going to say, am I missing something?
Yeah,
I mean,
he's playing well.
I was going to say, his overall game's fantastic.
He's playing against the top line every night. That's the goal guy right there. He's got the biggest assignment every night.
Maybe he doesn't have as many goals as he had at this juncture last year.
Think about 90s responsibilities.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's our Bergeron.
Yeah.
You know, and plays just as well as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, the amount of ice time that guy gets against the other team's best, he doesn't get ice time against anyone other than the other team's best. That's and right. He's playing well.
Yep.
Man, stop that.
Did you know what? They were playing the game, it was Pittsburgh the other night. And if you just cued in on there was a power play where the Blues were running. He made probably four passes on this power play that had no business making. And he was right against the boards, and he was getting it to his defenseman, and he got it down to, and he had, I don't know how he did it, because I thought you put yourself in a bad spot here, you're done. Now they're going to get it up. But he made the play, and he does little things so well.
Yeah, and it was nice to see him get the easy goal.
Yeah,
you know, get the easy one. Yeah. He got rewarded with stick down goal and
making some nice plays, man.
I had
guy's a stud.
Last comment on here, you know, gentleman really proud of our Blues, but I don't think he's real happy with the fact that I don't think he's from here, judging by his number, didn't leave his name or location, but it's an odd number. I guess he's looking for that Bud Light collector set. And he's got 80 bucks. Kimmy, you got some brew out, don't you? Yeah, you're back again, huh?
Our beer's coming back. I talked to the guy the other day, and he said,
that's my buddy that I used to work with at AB.
Thanksgiving comes off, and when they start taking this Thanksgiving beer off, they're going to put the penalty box back up. They got a new pitcher on there,
Jim,
I guess.
Groziak
or Groziak. I can't. Funny. But he's got a Y in there, and he's got a Z in there, and every number, the letter of the alphabet. But that's who it is. But he's got, so we're coming out, and me, Cam, and Chaser, and they got a new guy, not a new guy, player, but a new Phantom guy there. So
who is it? Oh, it's not a player.
No. That's so, the penalty box will be back
Corsica,
on display.
Jim Corsica.
Yeah, the penalty box will be back on display.
That's pretty cool.
That is good. The hashtag is back. Get Kimball. Yeah. When's it come out, or is it out right now?
I had a friend of the family called me up, and her kid was in the – now, the kid – when I knew the kid when he's young, because the kid used to, look up to me a little bit because of hockey. And that, the kid had no future whatsoever. And she was in there, and the kid's old enough to go drink now. And he ran down but he went down a different aisle, and he come back with a case of it. So she sent me a picture of it. So it was
she's up back. So I told the fan.
Monica McAmish, you might know her.
Absolutely.
Monica.
So told the fans today that all that rivalry stuff stirred up a debate out there. So I know you've said numerous times, Twist and Proby, for sure. You got to name the toughest.
I've always said this, though, that I believe when Bob Probert was in Detroit, I don't care what he was doing or whatever, but he was the cat's meow then. It was that was it. And then he goes to Chicago for a while, and then Twister's second return to St. Louis. He was a lot bigger, probably about 60 pounds bigger than his first tour. And he was just manhandling guys. Twister wasn't even really hitting them. He was just throwing them around so bloody bad. But in my time when I was there, Probert had to answer the bell, and he answered it every night. He didn't say no to nobody. He answered it every night, sometimes twice. And
so did you.
Well, yeah, but he was on. He won all his. I didn't win all mine.
Well,
I won a bunch, but I didn't win all.
You won more than you lost.
But no, he was the cat's meow, and then Twister come in, and then Twister took over for a while, and then George LaRocque, I believe, come in. But there's lots of guys. Dave Brown was a tough sucker, man. He was big and. But it's a process.
Since we're talking about it. So when you're watching NHL Network and Grimson's on.
Yeah.
So Kathy, my wife, she's just casual at best. So I said, come here. I said, watch this guy talk. Cause Grimson was doing some thing. And she goes, yeah. And I said, just tell me what kind of player you think he is. Oh, goal scorer, obviously. And I go, nope. Huge enforcer, tough guy. She goes, no way. I go, get out the phone, type it in. She goes, that's not the same guy. I said, that's what I'm saying.
Stewie.
What a name.
Stu Grimson.
Yeah. But, man.
Your rents, dude.
He has his mannerisms. Are wealthy is how I would describe it. Like wealthy sort of mannerisms and refined and all that kind of stuff,
And he had a hard time skating down the ice and chewing gum at the same time.
And
stick handle the puck was out of the question.
Right. And he's real thin, And
the best line, though, and I've said it on here before, I think I told you, but Kelly Chase tells it all the time, was the best line when Garth Butcher was sitting on the bench and Stu was in by our bench. And but then the old rivalry system was going on, Chicago, St. Louis. And he said, you know why your parents called you Stu? He said, because they couldn't spell stupid. So they had to go for short for Stu.
And were they on the ice together at the time?
No, he was on the bench and I was on the ice. So we'd have to go fight Stu. Yeah. So but it was just... But he's a well-spoken guy. Great, great guy. I met him here and we had a fantasy camp, I think, was here, and I met him. But great guy. Does a lot of – he's got the gift of the gab, is what you –
He's just really, wealthy mannerisms, how I would put it.
When you sit there and you play the game a long time, and you even play it at whatever level, the pro level and whatever you're doing, very knowledgeable guy about the game, and understands the game tremendously, and well-spoken. And he comes across like
he was a goal scorer, and he's again real defined.
Well, all right, I guess that answers the question.
Can be.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to roll because I got a big game tonight. I got Collinsville in town.
So Rivalry night. I see what's going on.
In Granite City.
Granite City Warriors versus Collinsville Cayhawks.
They had our number last year. Well, we beat them last year once, but then they spanked us. So it's,
Is that at the War Memorial tonight?
It's going to be at the Cold Memorial tonight.
The Cold Memorial?
Sit on that bench. It'll be cold.
We'll bring home a winner.
Yeah.
Tell my boy Mason I said, hey.
I will for sure.
Cathedral of Miracles.
The Cathedral of Miracles. All right, Kimby, get out of here.
Good luck.
The great Darren Kimball. So, it was funny. I've always people ask. I know he gets asked all the time what it was like to fight those guys and everything. So we were watching them today, and it was, God, it's just some bad, bad men.
Well, for those of you, I mean, we've been really lucky, and because of what I do, I've been incredibly blessed to be around some of these men, and they're – pro athletes are just bigger. I don't care
what. Todd Ewan was a big man.
Oh, man. Like, you know, him and Kimby together, you're just standing there. And now, you know, if you get a chance to see Reed out or any of these guys, they're just huge men. And Kimby would tell me straight out that he couldn't even move Probert. Like, couldn't move him. Like, that's how just ferocious and big and how above everybody else. But, you know, all those guys answered the bell.
Certain people are destined to be an animal. What's the truth?
Remember when he got banned? He got banned from the United States said, if you go to Canada, we're
you
not
going
to
let you back.
And then Canada said, well, we're not letting
you
in.
Jeez Louise. It's good. But, no, I like the conversation only because, like I said, I don't enjoy the game like I used to. I just don't. I don't. There's things that they changed about the game at the time that I didn't like when they made those changes. Back when I think they thought what they were doing was good for the game. I think you had some people sitting in an office at the time that hadn't played a lot of hockey that said, well, let's get rid of all this and all that. And while I understand you're trying to get rid of the clutching and grabbing, what you did was by taking that out, you took it all out. And then you got your defensemen killed because the forwards couldn't hold up the forecheckers. And then and then the defensemen couldn't hold up the back checkers from getting back. I mean, there was a little bit of common sense needed there to where they didn't really need to write it in so much. But what they really needed to do was say, look, when in an offensive situation, don't allow these guys to hold them like that and clutch it. That's all they really needed to do. They didn't need to say, well, you know, we're going to call it all. Because let me tell you something, the role that the defensemen played in holding up the forecheckers and the role that the forwards made in holding up the back checkers and forward, you know what I'm saying. So that role, it was a big deal, riding guys out of plays and things like that.
It opened
up a lot of room.
It did, and I don't mind it. I don't want you grabbing my guy. I don't want you interfering with my guy if he doesn't have the puck. I don't want that. Hulley didn't want it either.
I don't think he minded that. He didn't want to get mugged when he was in the offensive zone.
That's my point. So he didn't want to be.
There's a big difference between the area I'm talking about.
I know, but listen, it's not just hockey that has changed the equipment. Your beloved baseball players are all wearing a jaw protector now.
I don't care about that.
I'm just saying they have to. The reason why all of that has changed is because the pro athlete is better than he's ever been or she's ever been. They're just in great shape. So I don't know. Like, I know you're not disputing it, but I don't think it's made the game worse. I don't think the fact that the hitters are wearing an elbow guard and a jaw protector, I don't think that's made the game worse. I think it's made them better.
Yeah, that's not preventing offense.
Scoring is the same. It's not less or more. Look at it. Historically, they score the same amount of goals.
We very rarely ever have a 50-goal score. We don't have them like we used to.
Yeah, but you don't have them because now you have a whole – like, it's – even fourth line guys are capable of 10 to 12 goals a year. Look at the fourth line.
And why?
And hold on. Because they're better. And so you don't have to have a 50 goal score.
The you game don't. Was better when
okay.
you had him.
Okay, listen.
It was.
Okay.
It was exciting.
Let me say something. Here you go. Go back and look. When Brett Hull got his 50th goal, it was a big deal. You know why? There weren't a lot of 50 goal scorers. There weren't. People are living in this world like there were like 50 goal scorers were like this, and they weren't. It was like him and McGillney and a couple others. It wasn't like a, you know, a ton of them. And when you had Hulley and them and all of those guys scoring all those goals, you literally had no goals from the third or fourth line. And you get those goals now, so you don't need that 50. And the balance of play is better. It just – The athlete is better, and the equipment is better, and the game is in a good place, I think. Of course, I don't want him to get rid of fighting. But like I said, something happened between Kemby's era and this era, and that's what I thought happened. I don't think that means the game's bad.
Brett Hull had 131 points in 1990.
Okay. How many else did?
What do you mean? There's all kinds of guys. Wayne Gretzky had 163. Joe Sakic had 109. Iserman had 108. 104 for Theron Fleury.
And again, look.
You're lucky to get 80 points in a season. John fucking
right, but
Cullen
their minutes are different. Like, they're not playing the same amount of minutes. And the players that are they're playing against are better. The systems are better. They just are.
Al MacInnis, 103 points, what? 75 assists.
I get that. He's also playing 30 minutes a game, and no one else on the D was scoring. They didn't even try
but
to.
But why?
Because they didn't. That wasn't okay. their job.
All right.
Kimby just sat right here and said, I scored. And then when I got to the NHL, I couldn't score. Not because he didn't want to or didn't have the ability to. They said, you're better at this, so go do that. Now they say, hey, you guys who are on the third and fourth line, yeah, you're going to go up and you're going to be the checking line and the energy line and all this other kind of stuff they say. But the reality is they're also telling them, you better put in 10 to 12 or you're going to find yourself somewhere else. They didn't say that to the fourth liners back when we were kids. They weren't expected to have two goals.
It was one 50-goal score in 2018. One.
Okay, why is that bad? Why is it bad that Barbie's scoring? Why is it bad that fourth line the Blues had last year?
You act like fourth liners didn't score then either. Bob Basson scored 10 goals. Like, all these guys scored goals. What do you mean?
Bob Basson played with Hull. Okay. Look at it.
He played all over.
Whatever.
He did.
All right. I'm just saying. Their expectations of the third and fourth line were not the expectations of the third and fourth line now. And if you can't produce...
Well, listen, I'm not going to deny the fact that the Blues fourth line situation affords them... Listen, if you want to look at one reason why the Blues are pretty damn good and have been, Patrick Kane talked about it a little bit today, they're doing something over there, this formula over there, that's a big part of it. Their depth is different, especially right. in a salary cap era.
Right. So because the guys that come up now and the guys that the Blues develop and the young guys know, I can't just go throw my body around. I have to make plays as well. I have to play D, I have to protect the defensive end, I have to get the puck going north, I have to get it deep, I have to play heavy shifts and keep putting pressure on people, and every once in a while, I better put the puck in or I'm going back. That's not the case when we were kids. It didn't happen
You
in
didn't
the
have
80s.
To play hard for Brian Sutter?
You didn't have to score when you were on a third or fourth line. The game's different. Think about the fourth line back then. It was some guy between Twist and Chase and some guy between Kimball and Twist. Like, they weren't, if they scored, it was a big deal. Now they score, and it's like that's what you're supposed to do. Like, Sonny had 14 goals last year. That's what he's supposed to do. And these young men coming up and playing this game now know, yeah, I have to play this way, and I have to produce X amount. Otherwise, I don't get paid. Kimby got paid for fighting, and he was really good at it, right? That's what he got paid for. Nobody gets paid for that anymore.
I mean,
they get paid to win hockey games.
Sorry, but Dave Lowry had 19 goals. Ron Wilson had 10 goals.
You keep throwing out names that played literally on the line with Brett Hull.
Well, then who the fuck played on the last line?
Mameso was a second liner.
They all can't play on the second line.
And a first liner.
They all can't play on the second line.
They all played at different times.
Okay, I mean they all. I mean,
right.
You can only have six guys
play
on the top two lines,
they all
and you got Brett Hull,
times.
131 points. Adam Oates, 115 points. Jeff Courtnall, okay? Rod Brindamore, Dave Lowry, Gino Cavallini, Bob Bassin. I mean, Cliff Ronning, Sergio Momesso. I mean, only Rich Sutter. Only so many guys can play on the second line.
What are you saying?
Okay, these guys are all scoring goals, all double-digit goals. Every guy I mentioned is a double-digit goal scorer.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
You know why.
You act different. Like those guys didn't score. They did.
They didn't score like they're supposed to now. Those guys got first and second line minutes. Every guy you name right there played on Holly's line at one point. Every guy you named.
I mean, Alexander Steen's played with these guys.
And
these
he did score. Alexander Steen was your leading scorer.
Not last year.
No, but when he was when he was playing and he wasn't old. Look. Look at Esteen's numbers.
Okay. He didn't play on that line back then.
He played on the Blues first and second
right.
line a lot.
What's wrong with that?
How many times? He led them, twice in scoring? The Blues?
Gary.
What?
Last year,
I'm not
the Blues
about
won a Stanley
year.
Cup.
Right.
And their leading point getter got how many points?
Who was that?
I don't know. Take a guess.
Well, it was Tarasenko or O'Reilly, and they had 80 to 90.
77.
Okay, so what's wrong with that?
Okay, 77.
How many
bottom line is the same guys
that's the whole team.
Okay, I guarantee you there's no difference between this team than the one I just showed you.
So you'd be...
Only there was more.
So are you, so what's your argument? You're criticizing... So
My
you don't like
is,
the team that won the Stanley
I want
Cup.
More offense.
Why?
Because it's exciting. Backing into goaltenders and having no lanes to shoot and doing it like... A power play is not even much of a power play anymore the way they back end.
The way they...
they just suck it in.
They have to because the forwards are there. If the forwards aren't there, you aren't going to see D standing in front of the net. They're just not going to see that. People backed in all... how does that even make sense that you back in if no one's there? Everybody's mobile, and there's a ton of switching. There's a ton of scissor. There's a ton of cycle. And everybody who's in the offensive zone, the offensive team with the puck, movement creates opportunity. And so to combat that, you have to be moving as well. And if they all go to the net, you got to go to the net.
Why can't you just admit that it's because the goaltender's equipment is huge?
Or they're better.
Who says they're not
better? They
weren't better.
It's more about the goaltenders are better than the equipment.
I'm going to challenge every person out there listening to this show right now to go out there and look at a goaltender in 1985. Just look at him. You can look up the best goalie of that era, or you can look up the worst and look at the worst goaltender today standing in the net, and you tell me why goal scoring's down. That's
they're
it.
Better. It's not, of course, if they're equipment, of course equipment is involved, but I've told you a million times, you can't put a goaltender in the equipment those guys used.
Okay.
It'll kill them.
All right.
And the goalie sucked.
Okay.
You're telling me those goalies were good.
Grant Fuhr was pretty good.
You're telling me those Billy Smith and all those guys are as good as these goalies are now.
I have no idea.
They're not.
No idea.
God bless Grant Fuhr.
You know
He's
what
a
I'd
great
love?
Goaltender.
Listen,
you know what he isn't? As good as the best are now. He's not.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the best to now wear the equipment he wore, and then we'll make a real assessment.
Real assessment? They're not facing the same shot. I just sit here and told you that earlier. The shot is completely different. We shoot the puck. How you shot, the technical aspects of shooting are vastly different than they are now because the stick. You can say, I don't know. I do know. I see it every day.
That's fine. Whatever.
The stick is different. Watch. Just take, watch it. Watch any young man shoot the puck right now. Okay. They don't have to snap and turn their wrists over and point. They don't. They flex and that blade stays open. It doesn't turn over.
Listen, I'm not saying that they don't shoot a little bit harder, but I don't think it's as drastic.
I'll tell you this. You ain't getting anybody to wear that old equipment and face a shot they did today. Now, I'll tell you this. You put them in old equipment and give them one of my old Eastons, I bet they'll save it.
I mean, I'm just calling it like I see it here. The hardest shooting guys in the league used to shoot 101, 102. Now they shoot 104, 105.
I mean, you act like that's drastic.
It's not the slap shot, man. It's the quick release shot. It's the wrist shot. It's the snap shot.
They're not shooting that. Watch 105?
Watch how quick they can elevate that puck from inside.
Okay.
Inside the hash.
But they're still not shooting at 105 miles an hour. And if a goaltender can take a slap shot at 105 miles an hour.
The goalie's got to be react faster so the equipment's lighter. It is.
Okay, but then it doesn't have to be as bulky.
It's not bulky.
Oh, it is too bulky. Okay. Okay, go look at the picture, folks, and you let me know if you're Team Gary or Team Jim on this one, because I think you're going to lose this one.
You know what? I don't even care.
I'm gonna put the pictures up myself. Hey, listen.
Pictures of what?
I'll take care of it. Don't you worry. I'll tag you in it. Don't you worry. We'll have a little fun with this one. So listen. Appreciate
I'm
Kimby.
Getting on Twitter right now.
Hey, it's rivalry week. Rivalry week.
Come on.
How do we play Chicago tonight and Pittsburgh on Wednesday?
Because Chicago's dressing 12 guys and some dude they got from my league. That's how come. Chicago's
you
put themselves.
You want to bet we lose tonight?
I'll launch right now says we don't. I guarantee it. And we're going to Adam's Smokehouse. And we're getting the ribs.
100%.
And on the way over, I'm going to stop and get my oil to change a Patterson tire.
Patterson Tire and Service. A whole lot more than a tire store.
Just letting you know.
Hey, this was fun. Love doing this stuff. You going to make it in Thursday? Looks like a special day, it looks like. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Okay, you may have to make arrangements. Hey, everybody out there, we appreciate you guys so much. Can't thank you enough for joining us. Appreciate Kimby coming in. And just love to talk that old stuff with him, man. I still say it's awesome, though, every now and again, to look over and know that he lived that life.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just amazing.
Oh, here's the best way I can put it. Kimby and I are 50. We've been friends since he was in St. Louis playing. Like, since he met Missy, his current wife. Yep. Since then, we've been friends. That's how long?
That's what I tell him all the time. I knew him when he was in shape.
25-ish years plus. And I still am not. I still don't take it for granted. You know what I'm saying? No, like, I still look at him and go,
"It's a great dude.
That guy played in the NHL. Can't hit a golf ball."
I still say,
sure.
Me and Reeves went on a golf trip with him to Tennessee.
We used to.
And I mean to tell you, he couldn't wait to get those cowboy boots out and wear them to the casino. It was fucking awesome. I said, "You save them for when you go to Calgary?" It was so much fun. Man, that was a long time ago, and it was fun, man.
Yeah,
Christmas.
It was dumb. Definitely fun.
Well, listen, to all of our fans out there, we appreciate you so much. Want to thank InnovativeCompanies.com one last time, residential, commercial, industrial. They've got you covered. My man, Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. Of course, SynergyHockeySkills.com. Look for our man, Rivs, to hopefully make an appearance on Thursday. There's your tease. SynergyHockeySkills.com. Get a hold of them. Find out what's going on for the holidays, and your boy Rivs will let you know what's happening there. Don't forget our good friends at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Give them a call for a quick quote, 618-797-6711. We're looking forward to that as well, having them back in the studio. I know Brian would get a kick out of being in here, so we may have to see about getting him on in for that one. Can't say enough about NelsonLandServices.com. They do such great work. They're such great people, and really all they want is for us to get their name out into the market so that you guys can at least just give them an opportunity for your business. That's NelsonLandServices.com, 5-star locally rated company with reasonable prices. Special thanks, as always, to LineupMediaGroup.fm, home of your radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. BluesNHLPodcast.com, make sure you guys subscribe to the show there. It's free. You guys will get a notification each time the show is done. You can find us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. Make sure you like us there, and, of course, on Facebook at BluesNHLPodcast as well. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.